The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The longtime voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, will be a guest on the show with us this morning at 11 a.m. an hour from now. Good morning. Tomorrow night, Washington at Philadelphia for first place in the NFC East, midway through the month of November. The Eagles are 7-2. They're a half game in front. They are used to these spotlight games, you know, in the back half of the schedule, November, December, January. One year ago, almost to the day, they were 8-1 through nine games, not 7-2, and they were getting ready for a Monday night Super Bowl rematch against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. In the last 7 years, we know the difference. Philly has been to the postseason six times. They've been to two Super Bowls, 1-1. Washington hasn't had a winning season in the last 7 years. They're on their way to their first in 8 years. Two totally different franchises in recent years. We know this as fans of this team and of the division, but we kind of think there's good reason to believe that things are changing. And I think there's legitimate reasons to think that things are changing. The biggest change, of course, number one on the list, is a total ownership change. There's really no close number two to that, because Dan was such a constant obstruction to winning for 25 years. But he's gone, and the adults are running the show for the first time, and it's paid off. And it's paid off faster than anybody could have hoped for. I mean, the wildest of dreams didn't have a 7-2 start in the first full year of the first general manager hired by new ownership and the first head coach hired by new ownership and the first quarterback drafted by new ownership. I mean, the reason for the immediate turnaround rather than, you know, a slow build is they've gotten a lot of things right so far, it would appear. The coach and the quarterback in particular appear to be the right choices. It's pretty hard to win in the NFL with, you know, at least without having at least one of those two, coach, quarterback, and they seem to have gotten both right. It's early. We've talked about this all season long. You know, every time we say it's too early, you know, it's now a couple of games beyond it's too early, but it hasn't even been one season yet. It's been 10 games, but these 10 games have revealed a few things. You know, they have revealed that the general manager, Adam Peters, is a real general manager, something that this franchise hasn't had in forever. And moreover, he's in lockstep with the head coach that he hired, you know, on the kind of team that they want and the kind of players it will take to get the team that they want. The head coach, who had already taken a team to a Super Bowl, has been a big reveal so far. He's a true leader, and he attracted a first-rate staff, including an offensive coordinator who was sought after by teams like Chicago, who just fired their offensive coordinator yesterday, and the Raiders. But he picked here, and it was a good match with the quarterback that they wanted to take in the April draft. Another thing that's been revealed, clearly, they drafted a very talented quarterback whose style is a perfect fit for today's NFL. And beyond the talent, which is elite, he appears to have a lot of the rest of it. The work ethic, the football IQ, an unflappable calm and poise. That's a given. You know, there are still some issues and concerns, health being number one on the list. But yeah, a new owner, a real GM, a coach who the GM is on the same page with, and the quarterback, that can sometimes lead to a much faster turnaround in the NFL. The NFL is really not about, you know, long-term rebuilds. There are medium rebuilds. You know, there are, in cases like Washington, this could have been viewed more realistically as, look, it's going to take a year or two, but, you know, it's not going to take five if they get these things right. But they seem to have nailed everything. And the quarterback in particular, because he had all of this experience and because the game seems to fit so perfectly and because he's got the work ethic and he's got the IQ and he's got all of these other things, that's really kind of expedited the turnaround. You know, new owner, real GM, a coach, the quarterback, 7-3. But I talked last week on Friday before the weekend that would, you know, end with Pittsburgh, Washington on Sunday. And that game, I said these two games back to back could not have come at a better time because it's now, you know, we're more than halfway into the season and you're going to get tested by two franchises that win, that have a culture of winning, that have a culture of winning in a very kind of physical bully style ball way. They're used to playing in these games. Even the team that we played last week, even though they had a brand new quarterback, the quarterback is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, probably a Hall of Fame quarterback when his time is done. And you're going to get tested in a way that will give us an indication. It may not be, you know, the conclusion for this year, but a strong indication of what this team's truly capable of. You know, is it just going to be a playoff team? You know, a wild card six seed who goes on the road and plays San Francisco and loses, you know, out in the Bay Area in the first round? Or is it going to be a division winner that hosts one playoff game and maybe more than one and has a chance to go deep into January? And I think that these back-to-back games are kind of that discussion, that indication's truth-telling moment. You know, it doesn't mean they can't get better. They still have six games left after tomorrow night. Six. And none of the six, with the exception really of the rematch with Philadelphia, is a game that you would say you're not at least equal to the team, if not better. Atlanta is pretty bad defensively. And they come here late in the season, and their fan base doesn't travel. So you're not going to have the situation that you had Sunday, or you might have when Philly is here in late December for what, you know, could be the game of the season. But you're going to, you know, you're going to have a really good feel. I think there's a lot that we're going to learn from tomorrow night. Now, there is the issue of this is a banged-up football team heading into this one. There is the issue of, you know, our team played a down-to-the-wire, you know, crazy game, which was draining and, by the way, took some players physically. And we don't think that tomorrow night will give us our first glimpse of our trade deadline acquisition, Marshawn Lattimore. That may have to wait until after Thursday night in the mini bye that gives them 10 days prior to their next game. But And Philadelphia basically had a cakewalk over the freshman team in Dallas at this point. They provided absolutely no resistance at all. And Philly was able to basically play their entire roster like it was a scrimmage from the summer, you know, in the third and fourth quarter on the road, where Dallas at home this year has been emasculated now three times by the Saints, the Lions, and the Eagles. I mean, that combined score, Denton, added up. I mean, it was 44-19, 47-9, and 34-6 in the sunshine of Jerry World. I mean, that's about as bad as anybody's been beaten at home in a season in a long time. Look, we got, you know, boat raced five or six times last year. I mean, embarrassing results. I mean, totally non-competitive games against teams like, you know, the Dolphins here and others. But I don't know if anybody's lost three games at home by that margin in the same season. But tomorrow night is big. Tomorrow night is a big truth-telling moment and a big indication of what this season will end up being in terms of, is it really a contending team in the NFC, or is it just a playoff team in the NFC? Because I don't think it's less than a playoff team. I mean, when you've won seven times, I don't really care what the schedule says at this point, because the schedule actually now indicates that a game that you thought you were beating a bad team in the moment actually may be the most impressive win of the season, and that is the 42-14 win at Arizona. I know how they played against the two best teams on their schedule. They lost those games to the Ravens and the Steelers, but they certainly had opportunities in both of those games. And so that is, I think, telling as to this is a playoff team at the very least. I mean, they'll get to 10. I mean, they've got seven left. I can't see them losing more than four of those seven. And 10 puts them solidly in as a wild card. You know, probably a six seed, maybe a seven, perhaps not a five, in which you'd go to the four-seeded team. And at this point, the four seed might be the NFC West winner, which may be a team that's much better at the end of the year than they are right now, a team like San Francisco. But I want to ask the following question about where you think this team is right now in this season that has been a surprise. You know, I've mentioned the recalibration of the recalibration, because it started with most of you believing, and even my ridiculous preseason prediction, it wasn't necessarily tongue-in-cheek, the 10-7, but I certainly thought it was way out on a limb, and I wasn't expecting it necessarily to come true. I had some hope that Jaden would be ready to roll right from the jump and would be a really good quarterback in his rookie year, but not this. No one could have expected this. And after the Cincinnati game, it was like, what do we have here? 2-1, and they just went on the road and beat the Bengals. And they scored 38, and the quarterback was sensational. The Cardinals game in the moment was impressive, but we thought we beat, you know, a team that wasn't very good. The win over the Browns was not impressive. The Browns had a quarterback that was disinterested in playing football. I think the close loss against the Ravens was telling, and maybe people started to think, Panthers, Bears, Giants coming up. Could they actually get, you know, two of the three and get to 6-3? No, they got all three of them and got to 7-2. And I think in some ways the Hail Mary throw against the Bears said, maybe this is just one of those years for teams, you know, where everything seems to go right. And then not everything went right against Pittsburgh, but they lost a game by 1 point to a team coming off a bye week that was healthier than they've been all year long. And Washington was missing key pieces. Brian Robinson Jr. would have been a difference maker in that game. There were a couple of missed plays, a couple of drop balls, a 4th-and-9, you know, spot of the ball that was controversial at the very least. I want to know from you guys two things. One, where is this headed right now at 7-3. Where do you think this ends up in the regular season? And two, do you agree with me that tomorrow night is a big tell for what is to come? And if so, describe what you think we'll learn about the team tomorrow night in the game against Philadelphia. I'll give you my answers to both of those when we come back. Denton will also. And we'll open up phone lines at 301-230-0980. You've been, you know, throughout the season saying, okay, they looks like they're going to be better than we thought. And then it's like, wow, they might actually contend for the playoffs to, whoo, this is a playoff team. Where are you now on this team? You know, what is it that you think this is going to end up being in 2024? And then what do you think we'll learn about this team tomorrow night? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where is this team headed? You know, where is your new kind of mindset right now? It's been changing, I'm sure, throughout the season. Most people thought that this was not a playoff team before the season began, overwhelmingly. And then a few games into the season, you're like, this is going to be a better season than we thought. They're going to have a chance to maybe win 8 or 9 games. And then it became, wow, this team is probably has a good chance to make the playoffs in the NFC. And then it was, wow, this could be a division-winning team and beyond. They lost to Pittsburgh. Big test over the weekend. But it was not discouraging for me. Where is this team headed? And then, two, what will we learn about them tomorrow night in Philadelphia? So let me give you my answers first. Denton will give you his, and then we'll jump on and take some of your calls. For me, simply put, the team is headed to the postseason, period. They'll be playing in a one-and-done game in January somewhere. You know, I think it's going to be somewhere around 11 wins. And whether or not they win the division with that or not, you know, that's going to come down to these two games against Philadelphia more likely than not. But I think when we get there, whether it's as a division winner or even as a road wild card team, we're going to believe that they can win a game. I'm going to believe that they can win a game when they get there, even if it's on the road. They're not likely going to play Detroit in the first weekend, and I think that's the only team right now that looks really difficult for almost anybody in the NFC. Any other team in the conference would be gettable in a one-game situation. Would I prefer Atlanta over San Francisco? Yes. Would I prefer Arizona over San Francisco? Yeah, probably. You know, in thinking about, you know, the potential matchups. Would I prefer Philadelphia in a third game in the first round of the postseason in, say, a 3-6 matchup? Yeah, definitely. You know, Where is this team headed? To the playoffs. And I think when they get there, I'm going to believe in that moment that they're capable of winning in that first round. What are we going to learn about this team tomorrow night? I already learned Sunday that the moment isn't too big. They had maybe their best overall defensive day, considering the opponent, considering the situation, in a big spot that they've had all year. Yeah, offensively, they were a little bit banged up. They were missing a key piece in the backfield. But they still were able to score 27 points and have the ball at midfield at the end with a chance to win the game on a walk-off field goal. You know, they were not overwhelmed by the moment Sunday. That was a scene. You know, you had a road game environment at home. You had two teams that were trying to prove that they were in the upper echelon of the teams with the best records in the NFL. It was an intense game. It was a wild game. It was not the cleanest game, clearly, but it's one of those games you get, you know, starting in November where, you know, it's what makes the NFL so great. So great. NFL fans that were watching that game loved it. Loved it and saw two good teams battling it out. Been a while since we could say that. So I've already learned that they're not going to be overwhelmed tomorrow night by the moment. But what I really want to learn, and I think we will learn, is whether or not defensively they can actually hold up to some of the teams they're going to have to face in the postseason. You know, when you look at the NFC possible matchups for Washington when you get to the postseason, a lot of good rushing football teams. Philadelphia, number one on the list. So that's why tomorrow night will be telling. Can they hold up against a team that plays 11 on 11 in the run game? A team that has the best back in the NFC right now in terms of being the healthiest. McCaffrey just came back for his first game. Has one of the elite receivers in the NFC. They've gotten faster and better on defense than they were last year. They are at times really good up front, both sides of the football. That's a big test. This is, as my good friend Richard Doc Walker would say, this is a manhood issue tomorrow night. This is a manhood test tomorrow night. They stood up to it against Pittsburgh. Can they do it again four nights later and give themselves a chance to win a game on the road against a team that's been there, done that many, many times? This group hasn't. Now, the quarterback has been in these games. The quarterback has played in these games as recently as last year. You know, he's played on the road in Tuscaloosa. He's played in the swamp at Florida. You don't get more intimidating environments in sports than some of those road SEC venues. I mean, this is not something that's going to rattle the quarterback in his first season, in his 11th game, or 10th game, really, if we cut out the Carolina game. But I think tomorrow night, the real tell will be, what are we really looking at defensively? And again, probably not. They probably won't have Marshawn Lattimore, which gives you a chance over the six games that follow to get better, to evolve, and to become something different than what we see tomorrow night. But can they hold up against a team like Philly, who's going to try to ram it down their throats the same way that Detroit would like to do it, the same way that Atlanta likes to do it on occasion, the same way that the 49ers would love to do it? Some of the teams that you may end up facing, you know, when you get to the one-and-done games in January, which is where I think they are headed. Denton, where is this team headed now in your mind after 10 games, and what are we going to learn about this team tomorrow night?
So they're headed to the postseason, but I think the question, or the answer to your question, is in fact in the second question, is what are we going to learn? We're going to learn whether or not this is a wild card team or a team that, like we were talking about last week, has the potential to maybe get that bye in the NFC. You can't lose this game and expect to still get there. I don't think Detroit's going 16-1 necessarily. I think there's still at least two more losses on their schedule, but I don't think there's more than that. So if you want to be in contention for that spot, you have to win this game, let alone to continue one of the most hilarious streaks in the NFL, which is a new division winner in the NFC for 20-plus years. You got to beat
East, yeah.
NFC East. You got to beat Philadelphia in that. But I think really what we're going to learn from this is, can everybody else step up? Kind of similar to what you said. Jaden, we're not worried about him in big moments. He's shown that. I mean, his best game of the season was his first Monday Night Football game. He had two incompletions, and he had that game-winning right. throw to Terry McLaurin. Yeah. Like, the big lights don't bother him. Anybody that still thinks that is silly. So I'm not worried about that. It's more about everybody else. I know that Brian Robinson plays well in big games. I know that Terry plays well in big games. It's about everybody else who's not in that superstar level. Can they step up? Can somebody step up to guard either Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown? I kind of would love to see Mikey Sanders still shadow Devontae Smith a little bit. Not A.J. Brown, because A.J. Brown is like half a foot on Mikey Sanders still. But it's really going to be about who can guard 11 on the defense, and can they tackle Saquon Barkley and not become a viral meme where he jumps over you.
You're definitely spot on in terms of tomorrow night will certainly say a lot about how they will enter the postseason, because, look, they could certainly lose this game tomorrow night. They're a 3.5-point underdog. Philly's won 5 in a row. Philly's played in these games over and over again. Philly, with a win, would go to 8-2. Washington would be 7-4. So Washington would be, you know, a game and a half back, and they'd be one down in the head-to-head matchup with the Eagles. It wouldn't end the division race by any stretch of the imagination, but Philadelphia would have a big leg up. I think the one seed is really between Detroit and Philly if Philly wins. That's the way I would view it. Detroit's two games up on Washington right now. Detroit may lose a couple of games. I'm not suggesting they won't, but Washington would basically have to win out. I still think the two seed is in play, very much in play. In fact, right now, the winner of the NFC East would likely be the two seed. A lot of football left. And the two seed, remember, forces you to play in the opening round at home. But then if you get through that one, you play the divisional round at home. So, yeah. And I really think tomorrow night is about, can I see another back-to-back effort like we got Sunday defensively? Is there a way that we can make Jalen Hurts from the pocket beat us with his arm? Like, that's the game tomorrow night on defense. You know, forcing him down and distance-wise to drop back and throw it from the pocket. He may succeed in doing that, but you got to force him to do that if you want to have a chance of getting off the field consistently without relying on their self-destruction, which is always a possibility in any NFL game, that the other team's going to have a bad night, you know, have two drops, have two fumbles, have a tip ball at the line of scrimmage that gets picked. All right, your chance, 301-230-0980. Where is this team headed now after 10 games? Where do you have the rest of this thing playing out? And then two, what are we going to learn about this team tomorrow night? Let's start with Steve, who's calling from La Plata. Steve, go ahead.
Yes, Kevin. Appreciate getting me on here. It's first time caller. I agree.
Thanks,
with
Steve.
Both of you as far as your analysis. I mean, it's been great. Been great to see this team where it's going. But it's going to tell a lot, like you're saying, about the defense. And, you know, we have to be able to stop the run. But the good news is I've been watching you guys, been watching this team since Lombardi was here. So we've seen a lot of years come and go, and this just looks good all the way around what you're putting together. And, you know, let's just hope it doesn't stop here and it just continues to grow.
Thank you, Steve, for the call. I love when, and I've gotten this many times over the years, I love when somebody says, I've been watching this team since Lombardi. You know, like, that's really not for us to say, all due respect. It's for Packer fans to talk about, I've been watching this team since Lombardi. We did have 1969 Lombardi for one season, and it was a winning season, and it was the first winning season in forever. And everybody believes, including everybody around the league going back what would that be? 31, 24, 55 years ago, everybody in the around the league thought in the moment, look out, Washington's going to become the new Green Bay as we enter this next decade. But he died of cancer, and he didn't make it to his second season. But I always find it interesting, and it's not a criticism, but it's like, what would Green Bay fans think of hearing Washington fans say, I've been watching this team since Lombardi? Let's go to Frank in Charlotte. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
What's up, Frank?
This is what I think. Hey, what's going on, man? I think they're going to, and I don't mean to be antagonistic or anything like that. Just from the injuries and the play of certain players, I think they're going to go 9-8. They miss the playoffs. And then they'll get swept by the Eagles. And then I think where they're going to end up going, what it tells us about us, about the team, is that a severe weakness was never addressed in the offseason, which was DB. It wasn't addressed in free agency adequately enough or through the draft. And so having Benjamin St. Juice as your number one, it's not a tenable situation. And so
well, they're going to have a new number one here, you know, hopefully shortly.
My question about Lattimore is that I don't really think he can help us. I mean, I think he's going to help us, but he's not going to really we're not going to really see the fruits or the effectiveness of it until really next year with him.
That's possible. That's not unreasonable, especially given that he's not 100% healthy right now.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
but you got him going 2-5 the rest of the way.
Yeah, I do. I have, because we got problems at left tackle. Our left tackle got his behind kicked the whole game.
He did.
So we're coming up against bigger teams now that have much more stringent defenses, and he got his behind kicked. And so I think it goes back to AP not addressing the DB in the offseason and via the draft, because there was plenty of DBs in the draft, and he could have got one in free agency. But They fell in love with St. Juice's size, and not knowing that he was slow, and that he can't cover, and he has poor route recognition.
I don't think they fell in love with anything about St. Juice. I think there was just only so much that they could address in their first offseason and the approach that they were taking during that offseason. I think it would be really, honestly, so disappointing if they basically finished out. By the way, that would be a 2-6 finish when you include the Pittsburgh game. If they were to go 9-8 and miss the postseason, that would be very disappointing. I would not be less bullish on the future, personally, because I would think and view the general manager, the head coach, and the quarterback to be the right choices, and that they just have to build out a better supporting cast if they truly fall apart, as you're describing a 2-6 finish with a team that basically was one of the top three offensive teams in the league prior to Sunday and is still a top four offensive team in the league. I would find it very difficult to believe a 2-5 finish. Nothing's impossible. It's the NFL. Things change. But barring a massive rash of injuries to key players, I got to think they're going to win at least three to get to 10. That would be the minimum. Is 10 after already getting to 7. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, question is, where is this thing headed now in your mind's eye? And then two, what are we going to learn about the team tomorrow night?
Hey, Kevin, thank you for taking my call. And Steve wins the Slow Your Roll call of the month. Outstanding, Steve. So I think this, Kevin, I'm not as bullish as you are for a few reasons, but I'm nowhere near as pessimistic as Steve. The playoffs are there for the taking, okay? They should get to the playoffs, but what will derail them? Well, an injury plague. The quarterback, I don't care what anyone says, is banged up. Cornerback, our guy who's, to be our number one, he's banged up. Running back, we've seen without Brian Robinson against the best fronts, we struggle in the running game. And offensive line is as banged up as it's been all year. I mean, that was the thing that led us to the 7-2 start, was that we were mostly really, really healthy, with the exception of the, we lost John Allen for the year. So injuries are always a great equalizer. We're banged up, and we're on a short week. We'll see. Another thing I just want to say is I think Philadelphia is far better than Detroit or San Francisco. With Saquon Barkley, their offense now has Barkley, Goddard, two stud wideouts, stud O-line. The only thing that derails Philly is their idiot coach, and he just might do that.
Right. But I was going to say, there is one big difference between them, San Francisco, and Detroit. And it's Sirianni's, propensity to continue to do stupid things that takes points off the board.
Sure, but I'll take Hurts over Goff. Last thing, just Kevin, I think what we've seen in the big games, the two losses to the powers in the North, Baltimore and Steelers, is that's when our deficit in talent, and I'm talking across the 53, begins to show, especially when it's banged up. Look, this should be no worse than an 11-16. We should go 4-3. We should win 11 games for the first time since 91. But I got to see how we do tomorrow night. And Philadelphia scares the hell out of me, even with their idiot coach. That's a hell of a team.
Yeah, look, I think we basically agree. I mean, tomorrow night is a real tell on what and how this will play out the rest of the year with respect to the division race, which means, if you don't win that. But I have a hard time believing that they're not going to win at least three of their final seven and be solidly in, a sixth spot. And then you're not going to Detroit. You're probably not going to Philly. And you're going to end up in a game, that you have a reasonable chance of perhaps winning, even if it's on the road. And that's the way I see it. But I agree with you. If they continue to end up missing key pieces, injuries are always, not just an equalizer. It is, it puts you in a very disadvantaged situation, especially when you're not a deep team. This team's not deep, no doubt. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Where are your, reasonable expectations in terms of where this is headed right now? They've played 10. They've won 7. Where does this go? And then what are we going to learn about this team tomorrow night in Philadelphia? Let's go to Bones. Bones, thanks for holding, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking for, out of the last 7, I'm looking for us to get 4 wins, and we're going into the postseason, and right now we banged up, but I got a lot of confidence in the coaching staff that they're going to have the players ready that's available. They're going to be ready to play, and we're going to be very competitive, and there's a strong, strong possibility that we're coming out of Philly tomorrow night with a win. That's my belief, and I'm sticking with that, Kevin. I love you guys, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Bones. Peace. Appreciate it. Look, I mean, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. I think they definitely have a chance tomorrow night. I think as long as you roll in there with number 5 at quarterback and a relatively healthy offensive football team, and we'll see, find out more today about how healthy they'll actually be, I think you always have a chance. I mean, there's only one game they've played this year where they didn't have a chance. That was all the way back on September 11th. Was it September 10th, whatever day it was, against Tampa in the opener. Every other game, including Baltimore and Pittsburgh, right there. So they've got a shot tomorrow night. I do believe that. And I do agree with Kevin that in terms of overall talent, both sides of the ball, this is the most talented team they've faced. It is. In terms of a complete football team, Cincinnati offensively may be the most talented. Lamar and Baltimore right there with them. And again, what to make of the Arizona 42-14 win at this point? I mean, their quarterback was not good that day, and he's been good pretty much in every other game. Let's go to Bobby. Bobby, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Bobby.
It's such a week. Hey, bro, it's such a week to week league. Last week at this time, all the callers were buzzing, and we played a good game Sunday. Very disappointing that we didn't win it on a winnable game. But that being said, Kevin, this is definitely a playoff team. okay? Definitely a playoff team. This is a good football team. And if you would have told all your callers and everybody listening that it's November the what, 13th today, and we're in this position at the beginning of the year, everybody would have signed up. Kevin, we're fine. This is a good team. I'm excited about tomorrow, and we're going to play good. We always play fairly good, Kevin. Even when we had terrible coaching the last few years, we went toe-to-toe with the Eagles. We can beat them tomorrow night. I expect to win that game tomorrow night. And if we're going to learn anything about it, it's going to be like Dick said. It's going to be about seeding in the playoffs, okay? This is a good football team, Kevin. It's not a complete team yet. But what they've done so far after 10 weeks is absolutely amazing. And everybody listening would have signed up for it. We're playing in a meaningful football game tomorrow night in the middle of November. Think about it. Usually this time of year, we're talking about the draft and firing people and all this stuff. Sign me up for tomorrow night. We'll be ready to play. I heard DQ Monday. He's going to have the team ready to play, brother. He was ready to roll Monday in his press conference. So, and I know that's going to trickle down. Are we banged up a little bit? Guess what? Injuries are freaking part of football. It happens. Or, you know, this late in the year, you're going to have little dinks and people not playing. But I think the people that can play tomorrow will suit up. I think B-Rob is going to suit up tomorrow night and play, which will help us in the running game. You know, and if we get Lattimore for the last six games of the year, Kevin, that's going to help us in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So he's probably not going to play tomorrow. Give him 10 more days off and have him there for the stretch run to help our defense out. But, Kevin, the defense is getting better. I know that's been a sore spot for you all year. It has been for everybody else, too. But they're gradually making baby steps. They played a really, really good game last weekend.
I think they did, too.
Except for a few.
I mean, that's what – to me, when you said this is a really good football team, I still kind of want to come back to you and say – first of all, you're right. Everything's week to week in this league, and things change. But as of now, I want to be able to say to you, it is, and it's because they've gotten better on defense. Because heading into the game Sunday, this was a good, very good offensive football team. That's what it was.
Exactly.
And in 2024, elite, really, really good offensive teams can win a lot of games. You know, but can you win three in a row to get to where you want to go to in January if your defense stinks? And I thought Sunday was a step forward. Tomorrow night's an even more difficult test. And as far as playing Philly tough, you're right, right? We've had these very competitive games against the Eagles in recent years. But it's a different Philly team because of Barkley. Completely different Philly team because of Barkley, and they have much more speed. Cooper DeJean's playing at a high level. Mitchell's playing at a high level. They've got better speed defensively than they've had in the last couple years. Love to hear from you, Bobby. Thanks. At least we're having these kinds of conversations on November 13th. I see all of you on hold. Stay there. I'll try to rip through all of the rest of the calls. Where is this headed? And what are we going to learn tomorrow night in Philadelphia? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Final day of practice today for the Commanders ahead of that Thursday night showdown with Philadelphia. Marshon Lattimore hasn't participated in practice this entire week. Brian Robinson has been limited all this week. He's been walkthroughs. Dan Quinn said yesterday, though, that they'll speed it up a little bit today. And after this afternoon's practice, he'll know whether or not Brian Robinson and Lattimore are good to go. There is reason to think that Brian Robinson will be available for the Commanders on Thursday. As we talked about yesterday, Dak Prescott done for the season. Surgery on his hamstring. He is going to be out the rest of the way, which means Cooper Rush is QB1 in Dallas. The Bears parted ways with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron yesterday. In the NHL, no Caps in action yesterday, but they are bringing Lars Eller home. They're acquiring him from the Penguins for a 2027 third-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick. Wizards in action tonight against San Antonio. Pregame right here, 7:45. Tip at 8 on the Team 980. And that's what's trending.
Merrill Reese, longtime voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. We always have Merrill on before Skins-Eagles games. He'll join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get the Philadelphia perspective from Merrill. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's rip through these calls. Try to keep it short. I want to get as many of you in as I can. Where's this team headed? Where do you have them headed right now through 10 games? And what are we going to learn tomorrow night in Philadelphia? Jason, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has got to be a game where the defense needs to have the best game of the season tomorrow night in Philadelphia. I think all the pressure is on the home team. To see us go to the playoffs, I think we have to at least just go 500, get to 10 wins, whether it's a wild card or the division. The Washington fans all around will take any playoff berth. Tomorrow night, defense has to be on their game. After the Pittsburgh game, the word around the team is that they're mad. They have a chip on their shoulder, and I think they're going to come out tomorrow night, play with a fire in their gut, and they're going to come out with the win.
Thanks, Jason. I'll tell you what, seriously, if they just kind of barely qualify for the postseason and they go out meekly in the first round at this point, again, I'm not going to be any less optimistic about the future, but I'll be disappointed about the opportunity that I think they have right now this year. And if that's where it ends up, I'll be a bit disappointed. But it'll be just nice to have a game in January where you got a team that you think has a chance to win a playoff game. Just a playoff game is nice. Ross in Tampa. Ross, go ahead.
What's good in the hood, Shan?
How you doing, Ross?
I'm good, man. What I'll get out of this game if we were to win tomorrow without Lattimore and the defense that we've been watching is I think we have a serious chance, and I'm not trying to be crazy, but the Super Bowl. I look at this team, and it kind of reminds me of like that 2017 Jacksonville team that just kind of came out of nowhere with a dominant defense.
They had a dominant defense, yeah.
Dominant defense. I think if we do it the right way, I don't think we can. I don't think it's far fetched. I'd rather play in Detroit than Philly. If we beat Philly at Philly, I think any team that goes for Detroit too is beatable in the playoffs if we show up and play our game.
Thanks for the call. Remember how good that Jacksonville team was, Denton, defensively? And one of the games they won, you'd have to go back and look this up, but it was like 40-something to 40-something in Pittsburgh. But they had, you know, Miles Jack, and Ngakoue was great. There were so many good players on that defense, that particular. The linebacker, Smith, was really good. Man, that team got on a roll. They had New England in trouble in that AFC Championship game. Let's go to D.C. D.C., go ahead.
Great day, Kevin.
Hey, D.C., how are you?
Okay. I'm well. I think everyone is trying to say the same thing that you're saying. We have a playoff team. We are going to be coming together and gelling, especially on the defensive side of the ball going into the playoffs, which will help us. Tomorrow night, our defense is going to be the key to win this game. Long as we keep them under 20 points, that's the points that we need to keep them under. Keep Saquon Barkley under 60 yards rushing, and we'll get our cornerback. They're not rushing them. I like that the coaches aren't rushing anybody that's not healthy back because they know that we're a playoff team, and we want to be healthy going into the playoffs and playing our best football offensively, defensively, and on special teams heading into the playoffs. And that's what I had to take.
No, I appreciate that. And I think that there's probably some thought process to that. You know, of course, Ivan wanted, you know, Jaden to sit for the Bears game, I think it was, after the Chicago game. And I said, well, if he's healthy, he should play. He sent me an email saying, you mocked me for suggesting he sit and he's been playing hurt. I think he's been playing with some discomfort. I don't think he's been playing hurt. There's a difference between injury and pain, as we know, as NFL fans. Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I agree with almost everything. I think they're going to probably win four of the last seven games. I think the big difference tomorrow night is the coaching, is how the coaches get them to let last week be history and get them amped up for this tomorrow night. And any adjustments they have to make because of some of the poor play last week. I think the coaching is a big deal.
Yeah, I do too. I think coaching is really a big deal in these short turnaround games. No doubt about it. And, you know, the physical aspect of being ready to play the game is a massive deal, which, you know, puts a lot on the way the coach handles, you know, the preparation for it. The preparation itself with a short turnaround, which, you know, they've been working on anyway, I think that's spot on. I think these Thursday night games have always been, a little bit of a test of your staff versus the other staff. Let's go to Billy. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, what's that?
What's up, Billy?
What I learned is that not only can Jaden throw the ball, run the ball, and be a great leader for this team, taking us to 7-3, the guy is tough as nails. He's obviously banged up, if not hurt. We've seen tremendous accuracy all year long, and then against the Pittsburgh team, he just was not as accurate as he's been. So he's obviously nicked up. He also didn't run the ball. So for me, if you have a guy that's as talented as he is and brings as much value to this team, now it becomes on the organization to protect this guy from himself. So what what I've learned is Cliff, is Quinn, is Adam going to put themselves in a position to protect this quarterback so we can have him for the next decade? As you would say, Kevin, would it be better to have Jaden for 3 years or for 10 years? So I think they got to adjust their game plan a little bit to protect this guy a little bit more. He's that valuable to the organization. If we keep him upright and this team stays healthy, health is obviously across the NFL critical. Get Lattimore in here. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. We're going to win a Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl.
This is a reaction now that I've heard for a couple of days following a game against Pittsburgh in which it was clearly the worst game he's had. But this reaction wasn't the same a week ago after the Giant game or after the Bears game, which were closer to when he injured it. He is in there is pain. He had a rib injury, but it's not, they're not, you know, you're suggesting that they're not protecting him, that they're not protecting the franchise by putting him out there. I don't think they would do that. I think this is a pain tolerance thing, not a, you know, oh my God, if you put him back out there, you're risking his future. I think if they were doing that, that would be incredibly irresponsible. They're not doing that. Before the Pittsburgh game, that's, it was the first game he wasn't on the injury report. He was on the injury report the other 2 weeks. Pittsburgh was good
Sunday.
Kevin, the intent
is, they are good, but he was also inaccurate. He was inaccurate because he's hurt or injured.
How do you know that?
Whatever.
How do you know that?
Kevin, did you see him miss the throw? Does he miss throws?
Why wasn't he inaccurate the week before or the week before that? Why did he run as much as he did the two previous weeks, which were closer to the injury?
Watch the game and watch him get squished.
I did watch the game.
Hayward in the first quarter. Watch him get squished.
So you think he got injured again during the game? That's different. That's different. Okay. Fair enough. If you think, because clearly closer to the Carolina game, the two games that followed, he was A-plus again. There was nothing that they called differently. There was nothing that he executed differently. There was no indication that the pain that he has, which he does, from the sore ribs, was impacting his ability to play the game at that elite level. Sunday's further away from the Carolina game. He doesn't play as well, and now it's the injury? If you're saying that you think he got injured during the game, again, that's different. And I'll tell you what, he took a big shot at the end of that game in the rib area by TJ Watt. That if tomorrow night he looks like he's not healthy, it would be probably more so because of something that happened in the Pittsburgh game, or a combination of the Pittsburgh game and the Carolina game. Because he did take a huge rib shot on that 3rd and 8 before they punted it back to Pittsburgh in the end zone from TJ Watt. Merrill Reese next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.